Today is January the 14th of 2003, and I, Rebecca Peterson, are going to interview Patsy and Earl Dierks, P-A-T-S-Y and E-A-R-L-E, Dierks, D-I-R-K-S. We are at Cimarron, Kansas. Where were you born, Patsy?
I was born in Thomas, Oklahoma, at home.
What time? Like, what year?
1936.
How about you?
I was born in Hutchinson, Kansas, in 1936.
The Dust Bowl and stuff, you guys were alive during the Dust Bowl, or was it about over by the time? Because I know what happened during the 30s. I didn't know how long people would have stayed around, if you remember anything.
I wasn't living out here at the time, but Father farmed through it, I guess. He farmed two places here in Bueller. I remember hearing he thought they had a crop they was going to bring out barley one spring and sell it to the neighbors, but come out and found out the wheat was all dead, so they planted barley. That was in 1933.
I don't hear as much, didn't hear as much talk about the Dust Bowl days in Oklahoma. So I don't know if it wasn't as bad, but I do remember, and I think maybe this would have been in the 40s, didn't we have some dust? I remember one year, my parents were janitors at church, and we would have to, we always had evening services, and we would have to almost clean the church between the morning service and the evening service because the dirt had blown in. The sand. There was a difference in Oklahoma. It was sand. Up here it was dirt. We had
lots of sand.
Yes, and it would blow. And that was kind of a frightening time, all that. So I can remember that. We'd go home and we'd, in our house we had a bay window, and the pictures would be covered with dust.
What about the Depression? What kind of things do you remember about the Depression, and or, you know, stories that your parents told you?
I just remember my dad talking about working. I'm not sure what wages he got, but he would hardly get any wages. You know, they just didn't pay much. But I don't really remember the Depression. A lot of people up in our area where we lived there on the farm, a lot of people there talk about the Depression. But I don't really remember.
What was your guys' farms like? Like, what did your houses look like? I mean, were they just about the same as regular farms now, or were they a lot different?
I think where I grew up, it was pretty much as it is now. In fact, someone still lives in the house that I was born in. They've remodeled it and brought it up to date. Well, okay, now this was I remember outdoor toilets. I can remember when my dad added on to our house. My dad was a carpenter. He added on to the house and put in indoor plumbing, and we had a bathroom. We didn't have to go outside at night anymore and use Sears Roebuck catalog for toilet paper. Actually, we did that. And we did have, and I can remember this, before he remodeled the house, we had, I guess for our drinking water, we called it a cistern. Has anyone talked about those? Right next to our house, it was a hole, and then kind of covered with cement. And then in the kitchen we had, well, it was a water pump, you know, you'd pump, to get the water up from the cistern. That's probably wasn't safe, but we lived through it. And then I remember he built on that addition, and then maybe that's about the time electricity came in, because I remember when we did not have electricity.
How old do you think you were when you added the plumbing?
Oh, I suppose maybe I was in school by that time, so I would have been 7 or 8, maybe. And seeing electricity didn't come in to our part of where I was living. We had something on our, what did we call? Wind charger. You know, we were back to using wind. We had a wind charger on our house, and oh, that was noisy. And somehow, don't ask me how it worked, but that was, I just remember our wind charger on the house. And see, all of that was probably before he did the remodeling to the house.
Did you guys have, like, cattle or and chickens? Doc said they had sheep. And, you know, did you have hogs?
No.
Just do crops?
No, see, when I can remember, see, my sister got married in 1944, and my dad had a farm out here and a farm back at Hutchison. And he gave him my brother-in-law a choice where he wanted to farm, and he said he wanted to farm back there. So that's when we started farming out here. And we'd live here in the summertime and then go back for school back at Hutchison.
And you lived in town?
I lived in town. So I didn't grow up with cattle or sheep or hogs.
But didn't your parents, when did they start bringing out chickens?
First summer we came out here, we brought some chickens along to eat. I mean,
didn't have refrigeration. I think, wouldn't your mother kill a chicken every day for lunch?
See, and we just had a old, you know, can't see it very good, but when we first started, we had just a square house like that. No electricity, no running water or anything.
Is that before you moved in here or in here?
You know, we lived in this house from 1944 till 1953.
It looks barren around there too, no trees.
I can't. We had some other pictures on where they are.
I don't know either. And what I thought was interesting when we came out, well, it was 60 when we moved out, but some of the remains were still there. The way they would use refrigerator.
You just use.
You had, well, they had a tank. Somehow they'd run water and put their. Had barrels in the water.
See, in this windmill, you can't see it, there's a windmill beside this, and there was what they used to be whiskey barrels. We'd run one water in for drinking, I mean, and then we had another barrel that we'd run water through it, and the water would come out on here, and we'd have use it for irrigation in the garden. But the second one is where we'd put the pulp and the milk and the butter down in the bottom, and always have to reach down that cold water and
get it out.
That's what we had for a few years until we got an ice box.
Do you guys remember any stories about the plagues, like Jackrabbit or any of the plagues?
I just hear about the roundups, that's all. I don't know. I
just remember, and I don't know what period of time this was in Oklahoma, they would pay so much money for coyote ears. I don't remember when that was, but I can remember if they would kill a coyote, they would save the ears and sell that. Animal rights people wouldn't like to hear those things.
And what about World War II? How did that affect your guys' family?
I just barely remember that. I had an uncle that was in the service. That's probably the main thing I remember. Oh, another thing I can remember about, see, we had radio to listen to, and the, it was just always on the news was the war. And I guess as a child, I wondered when the war was over, would they even have news? Because that's all I remember hearing would be about the war. I do remember the day it ended, I think. I can remember that. But I don't know how much more it affected me.
I don't remember anything that affecting us, you know. Mm-hmm. I know we had these stamps and stuff, but it seemed like the farmers always be able to find, you know, get their quota of stuff, tires and gas. I just remember when the war was kind of over, before the war was over, we had sugar stamps, and they used to be this, they used to raise sugar beets around Garden City. Well, they had so much sugar in the bins in Garden City, the bins broke and the sugar ran on the ground, I remember. And it wasn't really a shortage, it just helped, I guess, because bins were so full, the bins broke, one of them broke and the sugar just ran right out on the ground.
Do you remember any of the shortages or rationing?
I just remember candy being rationed, Hershey bars. Maybe that's the reason Hershey bars is one of my favorite candies today. No, Hershey bars was one thing that was rationed. And now this is off that subject a little bit, but in our area, in the fall of the year, the school, and there were still the little country schools at one room. I went to a two-room school, and we would have, we called it a box supper every fall. You know, the girls would bring boxes and they would sell the boxes, and then that's how they would make the money to buy the Christmas treats for Christmas.
What kind of boxes were they?
You know, we would just pick boxes and fix them up pretty, so the guys would buy them. But I remember my dad would always try to have a Hershey candy bar for us to put in our boxes, because that was a treat, to have a Hershey candy bar. And that, yeah, we would have, that would be a big community event, because everyone would come to those. We'd have a program at the school, and then they'd sell the boxes. That's about all I remember about. I don't know if you had those or not. Then they'd take the money, and then at Christmas time we'd also have another program, and that was probably the only time we would see Santa Claus. Santa Claus would come to the school, and then he would bring us these sacks of candy. Hard candy. I didn't, you know, they'd just bring Christmas candy and pass out to the kids.
So would there were the schools where all the classes were in one room, and did you just have one teacher, or did you have one teacher? Did you guys have desks, or did you just have chairs and tables?
We had desks, and I thought I had a picture, but I don't think it was in any of these. No, they were a desk, and the top would lift up. But in our school, we would have about five or six desks would be kind of fastened together, and so when they would move the desk, it would be like moving a row. It wouldn't be moving just one individual desk. They would be kind of hooked together, but we'd have to lift the top of the desk. And also in this desk would be an inkwell, so that was before ballpoint pens. And this would just be the larger, maybe the seventh and eighth grades that would have this. You could put your ink in there so you could fill your pens.
So what did the lower grades write with?
Probably just a pencil. Because that ink was messy. Believe me, it was messy. You get too much ink in that pen, and you get that ink on your clothes. And not only that, pigtails. If a guy sat behind you, that, you know, or sped, try to put your hair in those inkwells. Those were a mess. maybe those ballpoint pens were good inventions.
What was your guys' life at home, like day-to-day life? How has it changed? Like, do you you told some memories and how, like, there's chickens in the refrigeration. But did you have, like, special duties you had to do every day? Like, Doc talked about how he had to go milk the cow every day since he was, like, 7 or 8 years old. Didn't know if, I mean, it doesn't have to be about farm stuff. And then another question is, like, how did your family raise money? Did your parents have jobs? Lucille talked about, you know, how they trade in eggs and cream. Didn't know if, just stuff like that.
My dad was a farmer, and of course then women pretty much worked at home. I do remember we had cows, we milked cows. I never did have to milk. I never learned how to milk. But we sold milk. I don't know if many farmers did that or not, but evidently they did, because someone would come around, you know. Well, you've seen these big milk cans, and I can remember someone would come by there and pick up our milk every day. So there must have been quite a few people in that area doing that. And I remember we had our milk, we would separate the milk from the cream by using a cream separator. There, on top of this contraption, would be a kind of a big bowl, and you'd pour the milk in, and somehow you didn't have that, did you? Somehow you'd turn this handle and to get the milk to flow down, and somehow the cream would go one way and the milk would go another way, and that's how we would get our cream. I guess if you wanted to do it another way, you could just set the milk out, because see, the milk then we would have from. We would get because we got from the cows, so you could also just set the milk out and the cream and the milk would separate. The cream would come to the top. And my mother made her own cottage cheese. She'd let that milk set out until it was soured. And then she'd put it in some kind of cloth. She had a special cloth, I guess. And the whey would kind of, the stuff would drain off, and what was left would be the cottage cheese. Oh, that was good. She'd make it like gravy. It would be, it looked more like gravy, but it tasted like sour cream. We put that on fried potatoes. That was a thing in our family, cottage cheese and fried potatoes. But I don't know what chores I had to do.
Well, I made sure we lived kind of like every summer that we had this wash house where I'd have to go and get the milk and stuff out of get down in there in that cold water and pick up the butter and milk and bring it to the house and take it back.
I guess I can remember listening to the radio. Just like kids watch TV now, especially on Saturday morning. I had my favorite radio program. And, you know, we would listen to the radio a lot. And there were a lot of, in the evening too, I can remember we'd sit around and listen to the radio. We had our favorite programs. That was before TV. I can remember seeing my first TV show. We went to the neighbors, had TV. And one of my favorite programs on radio, they were going to show on TV. And you know how with radio, you can use your imagination. And you just know how those characters look. Well, when we saw them on TV, they didn't meet what I was expecting them. I was kind of disappointed with the show. Not with television. But it was just that show. They didn't look like
what
I thought.
What show was it, do you remember?
The Life of Riley. And did you watch that show? They had one character, my favorite character. He was This sounds dumb. He was an undertaker. It's called Digger O'Dell. I wrote some of this down. He was called Digger O'Dell, and he had such a deep voice, and, you know, I expected him to be so... Just could hardly wait to see him on TV. Well, he wasn't as impressive on TV. But it took a while before everyone would got TV in our area.
How old were you when the first TV came out that you remember?
Oh, I was probably close to, maybe out of high, grade school.
I think we got TV till I went to college.
No, we had TV earlier. Well, some people had TV. See, in our area, where I grew up, so some things that we did might be different than what a lot of the people did, but in our area where I grew up, it was a rather conservative Mennonite group, and we did not go to movies. So we were not supposed to watch TV either. And my grandmother, I had one of my aunts from California sent my Grandma Miller a television set. And, you know, we were all so excited about it, except Grandma Miller, because then we had antennas. And so everyone in the country, in the community, knew that Grandma Miller had a TV set. And that was kind of a no-no. But it was fun to go to Grandma's to watch TV. So, see, we got... Grandma had one almost as soon as they came out at Mary. Thought Grandma should have a TV set. And so people didn't want the TVs in their house, but they would stop to see Grandma Miller at her TV set.
That's cool. I'm trying to think what else I have questions about.
Well, I guess this would have come in that time period, too, our telephones. The telephones were totally different than they are now. We were on a party line, and we had, I don't remember what our number was, but it was three shorts. If anyone wanted to call us, it would go, zip, zip, zip. That was our telephone. And if some people would have a long, you would either have so many shorts or long rings, and you know, if you had called someone and they had a long ring, you know, you'd ring quite a while for the long ring. And if there was anything that everyone needed to know on that party, the operator, see, we had operators, and so the operator would make a line ring, just a bunch of short rings, and so everyone would know, you better go to the telephone and see what's happening. That's how word was spread. And see, at this operator, unless we were on the same line, if I wanted to call you here in town, I couldn't just dial your number. I would have to call the operator and probably would tell her, if I didn't have your number, I would just say I wanted the Stuart Peterson residence. And then whatever your ring was, that's what she would ring. And so it would, you know, if you didn't answer the phone, we definitely couldn't leave you a message. So we'd have to keep calling back and, you know, go through this operator every time. And the operators could listen in on conversations, and so they knew what was going on in the area.
Yeah, and so were all your neighbors, too.
Well, so did all the neighbors, yes, yes. You had to be careful what you said on the telephone because people listened in on conversations. Because everyone on our party line, I suppose there would be about 8 people on this party line, and any time it would ring at our place, well, it would ring on all these other places too, and so you would go very quietly, you'd take the receiver off the hook, and you would listen to people talk. We weren't nosy or anything, we just wanted to know what was going on. But so the phones now are much better.
When sometimes the more people listen, it was harder to talk.
Yes. I still, to this day, you ask my daughters about this, they will tell you, I have a tendency to talk really loud on long distance calls. Because on these party lines, if we had a long distance call, well, you just had to shout to to hear the other people. And sometimes the operator would even help you. If you couldn't hear the other person talking, the operator would kind of help you and tell you what the other party had said. So I still talk loud, thinking that you just have to shout when you're talking long distance. I'm working on that. I've been working on it for quite a few years.
Well, do you guys have any other memories?
We're talking about family life. Is that what we're still... You know, our families lived together. You know, families didn't live apart like they do today. And we would go to my grandpa Detweiler's almost every Sunday for dinner. Bring in food. I don't remember grandma cooking very much. Everyone would bring in food. And the adults would sit around the table, but as kids, we would bring our plate and we'd stand by our mother. And as the food would be passed, we'd take our food and then we would go just sit wherever and eat. And, you know, we'd see our cousins almost every week. At least our family did.
Yeah, but I remember hearing, you know, they used to do that in our family, but then they had somebody got mad at somebody and somebody got mad at somebody else. And so that all stopped. Like I said, it's in dismay. I don't even know all my cousins. Because I don't know. Cause they used to get together all the time. But, and brothers and sisters wouldn't speak to each other. And it got worse. And so they never quit getting together.
Our family had a few squabbles along the way, but somehow we seemed to work ours out. Because we're still... And see, some of these cousins, we're still close. We still get together quite often, don't we? You know, we just grew up. We were just a close family. And it was kind of a large family. But I guess that was a lot of our entertainment. It was just family gatherings, ice cream socials. I can remember everyone would bring their freezer. We didn't freeze the ice cream before we would take it. They would take the ice cream there. And back then, we bought our ice in blocks. You know, you'd go to the ice house in town and you would get a block of ice. And someone would put it in a sack and take a heavy hammer and smash it. And then that's everyone would freeze their ice cream when we were together. The adults would, the kids, we'd have ice fights and those kinds of things. That's what I remember about these ice cream socials. Could have been to one of those, good ice cream social for a long time. Because now people either, around here it seems like they freeze their ice cream before they take it. You miss out on all that fun of the ice fights.
I see all your pictures. Did you ever have any, do you ever keep any diaries or newspaper clippings about that time?
No. No, we did not. If this is off the subject, but if you're ever leave home, someone had told me, or I went to a meeting one time, and some lady said, you should always keep your mother's letters if you're away from home. Maybe people don't write letters as much, but keep your mother's letters because that would tell you a lot about that time period, how women lived and what women were going through at the particular time. And I wish I would have kept all of my mother's letters over the years. That's one way to document history, mm-hmm. especially from a woman's point of view. No, we didn't. And Earl's family even has more pictures than we do, except I noticed farming must have been important to you because most of your pictures are on farming. You know, your tractors and those things.
Well, that's about all I have. Unless you guys can think of anything you like to say.
Well, that's the only thing I have here that we didn't touch on was when, I don't know, when we were talking about farming. My mother used to help my dad on the farm. You've heard these stories. But my mother would kind of drive the tractor, and someplace we had where a pull, I don't know which picture was. Back then, they were not self-propelled companies. Let any man holler at me like my dad would holler at my mother. You know, he was just giving her directions. She was trying her best. And they would work together pretty good. And I guess we did too, except once I remember Suzanne or Janet one asked me, do you understand what daddy's hollering at you? I realized then, hey, I'm following my mom's footsteps. I married a farmer. But you know, mother would get out, and maybe that's one of the reasons I did help on the farm. Mother would help my dad on the farm a lot, driving the tractor. Because so many things back then were not self-propelled, and so it would take two people to operate something.
Do you remember any other, like, farming things that are a lot different? Like, you know, tractors pulling combines, what other kind of things do you remember?
We were not nearly as aware of safety as people are today. I remember a highlight of harvest, and I would have been young at that time. See, these tractors pulling the combines, things would move slow. And I can remember my sisters and I, we would go out to the field, and it was so exciting to jump up on the combine with Daddy. While everything was moving, all these machines, all this was moving along, we would climb on the combine, and then we would work our way up and get on top inside the bin where the wheat was coming in. Now that was dangerous. That was so exciting though. I don't think, well today you couldn't do that. There are augers in the bins.
Yeah.
But, yeah, people, you just didn't hear as much about safety back then, and I don't know, we must have had work our guardian angels over time.
So you just kind of, did you guys just have one tractor and one combine? Did you have, like, the pickup? Did you have a couple tractors?
Yeah, we started out with one, and we got another one. We had one combine, because you could hardly get tractors and stuff during the war. I don't know how we got the second combine. We was only one day. This Gleer company had a hitch you could put behind the front combine, so you could build two combines with one tractor, so you didn't need the other tractor. I remember one way we cut mud holes is that person in the back there and run him through the water holes and keep the tractor on the dry ground, and so we cut out mud holes. And if you kept the tractor on dry ground, you could pull that other combine through.
We just have the one tractor. My dad didn't have a hired man.
How many brothers did you have, sisters?
I have two sisters, two younger sisters.
And I have one older sister. She's 13 years older.
Thank you so much for your information and your time. I really appreciated it.